Turn your Bibles this morning to two places and keep your Bibles open because we're going to actually look at some companion passages, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Luke chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Luke chapter 4. I'll tell you the specific verse in just a moment. We're going to have a word of prayer first, and then we're going to hear what the Bible has to say. Father, we are thankful today to be able to gather together. You have given us something in this service that's very special, very precious, very important to you, and that is the opportunity to open the Bible, read a passage of Scripture, preach the words of God to help what we've read in the Scripture to be understandable, to be instructive, to be life-changing, helpful in correcting and everything else that you do with your words. Father, we pray for the nursery. Keep the children safe today and healthy. Pray for the children in the toddler's church and in the junior church. For the Spanish preaching that's going on this morning, what we're doing here, Lord, we really do pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a very special, very powerful way. We need your help. We need your presence. We need your guidance. We need your understanding. So we look to you, Father, to help us today so this time together will be profitable, be satisfying, be pleasing to you. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, Moses is writing to, God is actually speaking to Israel about why he brought them out into the wilderness and suffered them to hunger and even to thirst a little just so they would learn a lesson. Verse 3, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Just a comment I'd like to make about that before we go to the companion verse in Luke chapter 4, and that's this. Some books in the Bible are named by the author, Isaiah, prophet, Jeremiah, Matthew, Mark. These are the people, the humans that held the pen that wrote the words. But what they're writing, what they have recorded for you, what eventually ended up on the page, what's in your lap, what's in front of you now, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, by those words doth man live. In other words, God is the author. These are God's words. Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ is in the wilderness. The Jews were in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is being tempted by the devil. They were hungry. The devil said, I want you to turn these stones and make them into bread. But Jesus Christ was in an extended fast. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, he said to the devil, it is written. So now he's recording what you just read. He's going back to that. He's quoting what you just read in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, the beautiful thing is that today you have in your possession, in your lap, in your hand, I have up here on the pulpit, the Word of God. Those words by which God wants us to live, we have in our possession. It is, he said, written over there in Deuteronomy. He said, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, right? And now Jesus says, I want you to understand, it is written. that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, for us to appreciate what we have in the words of God, it may be helpful for us to go back and look at a little bit of what God has done already with the Word of God, and then what He'll do with the Word of God in our lives. In other words, I'm not going to show you everything that the Bible says about the Word of God and its power and what it's accomplished. Just show you a little bit about what's already been done, what God is doing with the Word of God around you, and then therefore what God can do in your life with the Word of God. So let's do a little bit of traveling. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and notice something about this Word of God. The written Word of God you have in your hand is produced by the capital W Word of God, Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Interestingly, we don't know of the second person of the Trinity as Jesus Christ until He's born of a virgin. Before that, He is a person of the Trinity, but He's called the Word. And when He returns at His second coming, as we saw in Sunday school this morning, He's going to still be called the Word of God. "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Watch it. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Interestingly, as we have seen, the world doesn't want to accept verse 3. And so the world has come up with a scientific theory that said God wasn't involved. It all evolved. And it came from, so what you have now is the eternity of matter, not the eternity of God. But the Bible says He made it all, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So you know what you have is you have an evolutionary theory and you have a Bible that are mutually exclusive. It's one or the other. And you are left with the choice to believe which one is true. My belief is that what God said is true, and that the things that now exist are things that were brought into being when God said that they will come into being. Let's look at another passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. Like I said, we'll do a little bit of traveling. Normally on Sunday morning when I preach, I like to take a text and then preach that text, perhaps show you a verse or two more. You're looking at a little more Bible than you normally do in the morning service, but that's because the Bible is the topic. It's the subject of our discussion today, and it's very interesting to see what it has to say. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 3. "Through faith we understand." So through faith meaning I read it here, but I still am left with the necessity to believe what I'm reading or to not believe what I'm reading. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by" what? "The Word of God." And that's a small W. So it's not talking about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who made everything, but they were framed by small W, Word of God, meaning this thing that you have here in your lap, the words of God. "So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So the Bible says there is no eternity of matter. There was nothing, no primordial soup from which a protein could be formed and eventually become a DNA strand and eventually become a tadpole and then a frog and then a lizard and then a fish and then a something and then you. I've seen some people I kind of think maybe came that way, but not you. Not you. All right, so he's saying that you do anything you see and now it wasn't here before. It got here and it was framed by the Word of God. Let's look at another passage. Psalm 33. What you're seeing right now are just a few verses that let you know you wouldn't have anything around you. you would not be here. The chair you're sitting in wouldn't be here. The material for that chair wouldn't be here, and so forth and so on, if it had not been for the Word of God. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the Word, small w, again, we're not speaking now of Jesus Christ Himself, although He is the Creator, but the Word, the thing you have in your lap. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Isn't that interesting? So Deuteronomy chapter 8 said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live, and the very universe around you and all the substance in it by the breath of His mouth. That's an amazing thing concerning the Word of God. You just digest that and think about it. So when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you're not going to go there now, and the Bible says, God said, let there be light. He spoke it into existence by the word of His mouth. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters to divide the waters from the waters. God spoke that into existence. God said, let there be grass and herb yielding seed. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the sun, the moon, the stars. God just spoke it and phew, there it is. So just digest that for a moment. Just marvel for a moment. Everything you see around you, including the people that are here, would not be here if God had not said, is spoken into existence. It got here. So immediately we have a problem. The Bible says, beware of science, falsely so called. There are things that take place in science that are demonstrable, that have been even beneficial. But when science says that this Bible isn't right because it happened by another means, then science is wrong, and that's the science falsely so called. Because God spoke things into existence, and that's how they got here, and the person who spoke those things into existence is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Do you see that? And that's how it got here. But not only is that how it all got here, but go back to Hebrews. You're probably thinking, well, why didn't you tell me to put my pencil in there? If I'm going back to Hebrews, I was just there a little while ago. Hebrews chapter 1. Well, it's just so you'll be good at Bible drill. Hebrews chapter 1. So here's where the Bible stands. The Bible says it all got here because God said. God spoke it by His mouth. And that's how it got here. And God recorded words in writing that were spoken by His mouth. And He said, those are the words you live by. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3 is the verse we want, but we're going to read verse 2 so we have some context. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Well, that's interesting because He's the Word of God. Hath spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, watch it, and upholding all things by what? The word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do you understand that all things in the world are being upheld right now by the word of the same Jesus Christ who spoke it all into existence? Scientists have gone in and they have found this energy that is keeping everything from blowing apart, and they have assigned names to it. I know what it is, and I know what His name is. And I know why it's working. His name is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and He is the one who is upholding, listen, not some things, all things, by one simple thing, the Word of His power. So this Word then is a very powerful thing. This Word has brought everything that is material into existence, and this Word has now keeping everything that was brought into existence together. That's some big time power right there. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Laying the groundwork for the things that should concern us, it's important for us to understand what we're talking about. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Again, the context is Jesus Christ. Verse 13, the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 15, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 15, the image of the invisible God. That's Jesus Christ. Verse 16, for by him, that's Jesus Christ, were all things created. So how much of what's around us that's here was created by him? Everything, all things. For by him were all things created, the darkness, the light, the water, the spirits, men, animals, birds, plants, trees, dirt, everything. Sea, air, everything. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It doesn't consist, and it is not upheld unless he says, you stay where I put you. And then it does that. It does that. So you go up there and you look at that sun, and it's predictable, and that moon, it's predictable, and Orion, and it's predictable. You say, how does it do that? He said, I put you right there, you stay right there, I put you this way, and you keep doing this because this is what I told you to do. His word by him does it all. That's pretty amazing. You know, people say, well, it's just a religious book, or, well, it's just your interpretation, or that's just the way you see it. Uh-uh. That's the way God sees it. That's the way God wrote it. And God is the interpreter. God is the author. God is the originator. And he said, that little book right there, that's how all this got here. And that's how it stays together. The glue that holds the universe that was created by the very words of God is right here in you're holding it. You just want to kind of meditate on that a little while. That's a very, very important book. All right, so we could look at a lot more verses, but have you kind of got an idea that this is no ordinary book here? This is no ordinary people, you know, that want to debate about all that. Don't worry about debating all that. Why don't you just get in it and kind of figure out what it is that the author of life wants to show you that's in here. Because it does some very important things. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, by every word of God. Luke says, every word of God. That's how you live. That's how you live. All right, well, we're going to look at four things then about how we live. Just four. There are more, but just four will be enough. You've had the groundwork. You've seen the importance of this book. 1 Peter chapter 1, here's the first thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, here's the first thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Help me with the next five words all together. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth, how long? Forever. And this is the word. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the first thing we notice then is if man is to live by every word of God, then your eternal life is tied to the words of this eternal book. You're born again by, the Bible says, the word of God. That's how you're born again. Not by a religious decree, not by a religious dogma, not by a religious ritual, but by this, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Your flesh, that will pass away, but not this. And when this is in you, it gets in your soul, and all this around that's been around you since before you got here and be around here after you're gone, all this that makes that consist is the very thing that's going to keep you alive forever. By the word of God. And he said, the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you believe that what Christ did when he died for you, when he was buried and when he rose again the third day, is sufficient for you to be born again and you receive Jesus Christ, the word that's holding the universe together is the word that gives you eternal life and you live forever. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you that here today, and it may be all of us, it may not be, but certainly most of us, already saved. Jesus Christ, who spoke this world into existence and is keeping it together by the word of his power, when you believed his words regarding his death, burial, and resurrection and received him as your Savior, the same words that brought the universe into existence are the same words that brought eternal life to you. These words last forever, and so will you. If you're here today without Jesus Christ for some reason, I tell you what, you believe what he said. You know what he said? He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's his word. Don't believe it because I said it. You believe it because that's what he wrote. And when you got that, you got him, he's got you, and that lasts forever, and that's a good thing. Well, it's true then, man should not live by bread alone. A man can eat bread all of his life, but if he doesn't believe what I just told you and receive Jesus Christ, the living word of God, he's going to die, and he's not going to live forever. Not born again. And it's just that plain. All right? And you know what? I'm looking around here. You believe that because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're counting on that to be so. All right? Then we don't need to turn there again because we were there earlier. The second thing is this. Jesus Christ, speaking to the devil, said to him, when the devil said, you need something to eat. Turn these stones into bread and show us that you're the Son of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. All right, once you're born again, do you know what you need this book for? You need this book to live. You need this book to live. Let me ask you something. Do you need to breathe to live? Oh, yeah. If you don't breathe, if you quit breathing, sayonara, or whatever they say. Doesn't take long. Okay? Do you need water to live? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you need bread to live? He didn't say man should not live by bread. He just said man should not live by bread alone. Yeah, you got to have something to eat. Matter of fact, you're hoping I'll shut up and you get there. As my old preacher used to say, you hope I shut up soon enough so you get there before the Methodists do. Well, if you had for some reason to skip a meal, it's okay because as long as you got this, you're going to live. He didn't say you don't eat. He just said you don't. That's not all you live. In other words, this book is as important to you as breath. This book is as important to you as bread. This book is as important to you as water. You can't live without those things, and you cannot have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised apart from the words of this book. If the words of this book are actively keeping, upholding the universe and causing everything that is here to consist, if the words of this book brought all of that into existence, and the words of this book brought your eternal life into existence in your life, you need these words as much to live as you do to have eternal life. Do you understand that? And the sad thing about Christians today is they're not in this book enough. You treat this like an M&M. Well, that was good. A Skittle. My mother loved chocolate, and we loved to give chocolate to her for her birthdays and special occasions like Valentine coming up. By the way, guys, if you didn't know it's coming up, thought I'd throw that out. I think it's Wednesday. Is that right? It's Wednesday? Yeah, so you still got time to get flowers. Back to the subject at hand. We'd send her chocolate. She'd get it on Valentine Day. She'd call us the next day. Thank you so much for my Valentine card. Ha ha, that sure was funny. And thank you for the chocolate. But it's all gone. She'd just eat it all when it got there. She loved it. I wish we loved the Word of God as much as my mother loved chocolate. Do you understand that? Just eat it all. By this all things consist, and it's that powerful. God wants us to have a steady diet of this, and the worst thing we can do is think somehow or another we're able to live the Christian life apart from a daily dose of this. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You say, well, I know this and that about the Bible. That's great. I've memorized this and that about the Bible. That's great. Glad you did well when you were in daily vacation Bible school. This is not daily vacation Bible school. Those kids are over there. You can go to junior church and draw little crafts with them if you want to continue to do that. You got to grow up and get into this. Hello? 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 I know this in a crowd this size, not everybody in here is eating enough of this each day to live. And so your life is a little bit chaotic, and you're wondering what's wrong with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is wondering what's wrong with you. I gave you the book. I gave you the life. Read it. Eat it. Digest it. Live by it. This is your life now.
Amen. Okay, preacher.
Somebody said, how much Bible should I read? You know, we give out those Bible reading calendars, and that's to be a help to you, but that's not to limit you. It's not to limit, just to keep you going. You need to eat as much of this as is sufficient, right? When you sit down to a plate of food, do you eat the whole cafeteria? Do you go back until you clean all those bins out? No, you're not going to read the whole Bible in one day. We had some kids that have tried that before. I remember when we were in Beeville, we had these two guys. And man, I'm telling you what, they were strong. They were teenagers, and they had an appetite. And we had a Chinese buffet there. And it was all you can eat. So they go in there, and they just pile that plate high. Just gone, like a vacuum cleaner. Back through the line, piled high, just like a vacuum cleaner. And then the next time they went through the line, so the kitchen is like that door back there. It has a window on it, and the cook is back there, and he can see the buffet line, and he sees them coming back for another helping, right? But this time, they're just picking the meat out of the dishes. He comes flying out of that swinging door, and he says, stop! Sign say, all you can eat, not eat all! God doesn't expect you to eat all of this in one day, okay? You got to eat, but you got to eat in the same way you got to eat food. You got to eat this book. And you got to eat enough for your appetite. to get the life out of it into you. It doesn't do you any good like this. You can't get the life that's in here in you, leaving this on your coffee table or your bookshelf or your desk or you're in your car or, God forbid, in your seat and you leave and you forgot to even take it home. I've been tempted sometimes when we know somebody left their Bible at church and they come in, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. How's your Bible reading this week? Just to see what the answer might be. But I don't do that. I think about it, but I don't do that. You can't get the life that's in here in you without reading this. You have to eat it. And you have to eat enough to get the life that's in this book in you so that you can have life more abundantly. How are we doing? Are we clear? All right, if it's keeping everything in the universe together, it's going to keep you together when you get in it. Amen. So you're born again by the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, there are Christians that God, I think, let me say it this way. God intends to use every Christian for His purposes and plan. He really does. God really wants to use you, not all for the same thing. He doesn't call every person that's a man to be the pastor of a church. Put us all in there. There are many different things the Lord does with us as His children, but He's got plans for you, and the plans that He has for us are good. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 15, I'll just read that for the context. The Bible says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So a child can see faith in Christ result in being born again by the words of God. The very Scriptures themselves, the Holy Scriptures, make them wise unto salvation. If they'll have faith in Christ. Verse 16, all Scripture. I say without any reservation, excuse, or argument, I'm holding a book here. We call this the King James Bible or the Authorized Version. Let me just tell you right now, I believe that the book I have in my hand is Scripture. Okay? Just so you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've talked about this before, but I just want to repeat it again. Therefore, inspiration of God means that God has given you understanding, according to Job 32:8. So when I open this Bible, when you open this Bible and you sit there and here's the Scripture, the Lord is there, the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. He's the teacher. He's there. And as you read, He gives you understanding. It's given to you by inspiration. He gives you understanding so you understand what's in here. Because if you don't have Him, you're not going to understand this. You're going to get messed up. So He's here to give you understanding. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And because it's given by inspiration of God, it's profitable. For what? For doctrine, first of all. You know, the beautiful thing about doctrine, I haven't traveled all over the world, but I've traveled to a lot of places in the world. And may I tell you something? The doctrine of this book is the same in Africa as it is here in America, as it is in South America, as it is in Asia, as it is anywhere in the world. It's the same doctrine. But in order to get the doctrine straight, we have to get it from God. Okay? So it's profitable for doctrine. You'll know what He said when you let Him teach you. Right, it's profitable for doctrine, but then also for reproof. And the reason it's profitable for reproof is there's not a person in here who's not kinked a little bit, out of line some way. And the Lord has to put His finger on your heart and say to you, this thing you're doing right here, that's not right. That's not how we live. You're talking about God's people. It's not how we live. You need to understand that what you're doing here, what you're thinking here, what you're feeling here, what you're saying here is not right. That's reproof. But He doesn't leave you with a bad feeling. Then He says, for correction, He says, instead of doing it that way, do it this way. Instead of thinking about it that way, think about it this way. Instead of saying it this way, say it that way. So He gives you doctrine, so He knows what you know what He said. Then He says, hey, well, there's reproof, but He gives you correction. And then He gives you instruction in righteousness so you know how to live. Now, people are prone to look around and say, I wonder how do I live the Christian life, and try to look at everybody else, and you get discouraged because you see they're kind of like you are, and it's like, I don't want to be that. But when you get instruction from the Lord how to be righteous, guess what the Bible says in verse 17? That the man of God may be, what's the next word? Perfect. Not sinless, just perfect. Perfect for whatever God's purposes are in your life. Listen, truly furnished unto how many? All. You know why you're not getting anything done for the Lord and you're a little bit frustrated about it? You're not in here. You're not in this book. This book, listen, will save you. Born again by the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. And you are truly furnished by the Word of God. It's a sad thing for me when I watch Christians who've lived 20 and 30 years and they're up in their 40s and 50s and they're just like they were when they got saved. They hadn't grown or done anything. And you don't have to ask them why. You know already what the answer is. They're not truly furnished. And they're not truly furnished because the only time they get in Bible is when they're in church. And I tried to live the Christian life like that when I was younger. You can't live the Christian life by only getting Bible in church. It's better than nothing. But it isn't enough. You'll run on fumes. Hello, how are we doing? Are we together? You say, well, I don't know if I'll understand what I'm reading. If the Holy Spirit is there to give it to you by inspiration, you'll know everything He wants you to know. You may not know something that somebody else knows, but that's not what you need at the moment. You need what He wants you to have. You know, when you go to the doctor's office, they got all kind of medication in there for every kind of thing going on. Well, if you don't need it, then you don't take it. But if you got something you need and they give you some prescription that helps you medically with that, then you take that. And you know what happens to people who don't take their medicine? They don't get well. Oh, now you're talking about doctors. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. We're not going to extremes. Look, if you go to lunch today and everybody else at the table orders lunch and you don't order lunch, I don't like this restaurant. Okay. And you go to supper and they go to a restaurant. I don't like this restaurant either. And about 5, 6, 7, 8 days of that, you're going to be physically weak. And you know what the problem is? You. Because you didn't eat. Hello? Same thing here. Spiritually lacking perfection and truly being furnished because... No book. No life. It's keeping the whole universe together and can't keep your house straightened up. Why? Not in the book. Last thing, John chapter 12. Oh, they're saying, thank God. Whew. Praise the Lord. John chapter 12. Verse 47. If, John chapter 12, verse 46, if any man hear my words, well, you've heard a pretty good dose of them this morning, hadn't you? If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. It's right here. You're born again by these words. You live by these words. You're thoroughly furnished by these words. And you're going to be judged by these words. If somebody said, what's the final exam going to be like? Read the book. All the answers are in it. Yeah. Yeah, it's open book. And so if you want to prepare yourself to be judged by Jesus Christ, who didn't come to judge now, He came to save. He'll judge later. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. He'll just open up the book and say, well, how'd you do here? I didn't know that was in there. Well, how about over here? Well, I didn't really believe that. He's going to say what I said to Max the other day. Wah, wah, wah. I think we were playing Old Maid or something like that, and I ended up with the Old Maid, and Max looked at me and he goes, wah, wah, wah. You're gonna. This is it right here. You say, "Oh, he meant for me to do that." Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in here. It's all recorded. The books were opened, and this book was opened. And he'll judge you by this. You say, "Well, I want to do well at that judgment. I want to do well at that judgment." You know what got me going for the Lord whenever I got turned around? Put fuel in the tank and got me drag racing fast going for God. You know what got me going? The rapture, because I knew he's coming soon, and the judgment seat of Christ. Those were the two. I thought, if the rapture happens soon, I got to redeem a lot of time. That really put fuel in my tank. And then when I realized I was going to have to stand before him and give account of my life, I thought, man, there are a lot of things that need to change. And I started reading, and as God has showed me, you know what? When you judge yourself by what he said, you're going to be well prepared to be judged by him when he repeats what he said. He said, "What about that?" He said, "Check, started that in 1986. How about that?" "Well, check, started that in 2003. How about that right there? Did that 2024, February the 11th. Jumped right on it. These words brought the universe into existence. These words keep it together. By these words, you've been born again. By these words you live. By these words you're truly furnished. And by these words you'll be judged." I would say the best thing to do is get into these words. And let these words get into you. Father, we're very thankful today for a beautiful understanding from the Scripture of just what you gave us. You said you'd preserve your words. Here they are. We've got them. What a privilege. Thank you, dear Lord. Everything you've spoken, you'll make it good because you don't lie. God help us. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. You know, it's needful for us not only to enjoy and appreciate what we get to hear when there's somebody preaching, but even more importantly, to do something about it once we've heard it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Today, the Lord has helped us, and if he's given you instruction in here, follow what he said. You will never regret it. Father, help your people. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I just want to be sure. I mentioned here the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to presume that everybody here is saved. It may very well be that the Holy Spirit nudged you right then and said, "Hey, you." He's talking to saved people, but you're not saved. If you're not saved, you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should be born again by the words of God. You do that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ, but you want to talk with me afterwards so you can see yourself what the Bible says about how to be saved, would you just put your hand up real quick and put it right back down so I'll know to meet you in the foyer and we can visit after the service. Just put your hand up, put it right back down. Let me see. We had a young lady that got to do that last week. What a beautiful thing. Okay, all right, so I didn't see any hands. I will take that as your testimony that you and God are in good shape. Then would you do what he showed you to do today with his words? It really, really will help you. Change your life. Father, thank you today for what you've given us. Help your people. Help us. Be faithful to what we've heard. For Jesus' sake, which in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen.